In this episode of A-Level Political Ideologies, I'll be talking about the life and works of Edmund Burke. Born in Dublin in 1729, Edmund Burke studied at Trinity College Dublin and later studied law at Middle Temple in London, although he didn't finish his legal career, instead becoming more of a literary figure with his philosophical works and becoming friends with literary figures of the time, such as Dr. Samuel Johnson, who created the first English dictionary. He then became the private secretary to Lord Rockingham in the House of Lords, and then became an MP in his own right for Bristol for the Whig Party. This means that Burke has sometimes been associated with both conservative and liberal traditions, but due to his emphasis on pragmatism and the way in which he stood against the ideas of the French Revolution, we usually put him into kind of like the ideas of modern conservative thought. His most famous work is Reflections on the Revolution in France, which was published in 1790, just 1 year after the revolution had begun. The fundamental premise of this work is the idea that with the French Revolution, the monarchy had been completely destroyed. The whole kind of system of governance and all of the traditions that France had accumulated over hundreds of years were torn down with a new regime that sought to kind of base this new society on abstract principles. So the kind of fundamental ideas that drove the French Revolution were liberté, égalité, and fraternité, or freedom, equality, and brotherhood. And Burke's main kind of opposition to these abstract principles is the fact that they are abstract. So it's difficult for human beings to create definitions for such wide-ranging ideas. And what ended up happening with the French Revolution is, of course, some people's definition of these ideas then gets taken on, and then other people disagree with them, and that resulted in Robespierre's terror, for instance, and the kind of chaos and violence that ensued from that. So Burke wanted to avoid a revolution at all possible costs. And of course, if you think in 1789 in England, you know, it wasn't necessarily unfeasible that there would be another revolution in England. We had already had the English Civil War in the 17th century, but Burke saw the English Civil War as a kind of temporary deviation from the otherwise pretty strict order of hereditary succession that had been a tradition in England for, you know, thousands of years. Interestingly, Burke was a devout Anglican himself, so often advocated the importance of religious traditions, although he did also fight for Catholic emancipation in Ireland, because being from Ireland, of course, the whole island of Ireland at the time was part of the United Kingdom. But Catholics, who were the majority, had been kind of suppressed by the Protestant minority, particularly in the north. He also famously was involved in the impeachment of Warren Hastings, who was the governor of Bengal in India and one of the main kind of leaders of the East India Company, the kind of famous group that had trading group that had established big profits and more control over India during the expansion of the British Empire. And his reason for the impeachment was that Warren Hastings was kind of profiting too much personally, and he appealed to the natural rights of man for the Indians to have better governance. This idea of him supporting people who wanted better governance explains why Edmund Burke actually supported the American Revolution in 1776, but opposed the French Revolution in 1789. At first sight, those two things seem kind of contradictory, but actually, in his view, the American Revolution was based on the kind of unfair taxation that Britain was imposing on America, and that actually the subjects were quite rightly rebelling against that, and he advocated in various speeches in Parliament for Britain to change its policies towards America in a pragmatic way to avoid the revolution. Of course, that didn't work out in the end, and ended in the Revolutionary Wars. But the French Revolution, in contrast, in his view, was based on trying to completely erase history, completely destroying the fabric of society to create a brand new system, whereas the American Revolution was seeking for changes and to be independent from Britain, but to continue the forms of government, etc., that Britain had kind of already established. So the fundamental underpinning here is that Burke disagrees with the Enlightenment view that humans are kind of rational creatures in their own right. They have to follow tradition in order to kind of follow past wisdom to come to better decisions. And that whole idea is known as empiricism. In his words, society is a contract between those who are dead, those who are living, and those who are yet to be born. So he sees those kind of ties of tradition spanning through time and are very important to maintain in order to make sure that society continues to function effectively. It's almost as if tradition is kind of the product of many different conflict resolutions over all that time period, over all those generations, kind of facing obstacles together and coming to some kind of consensus, and adapting gradually, evolving gradually, slowly, through time to come to a kind of like better outcome. So pragmatic change is important. He also famously said that a state without the means of change is without the means of conservation. So this idea of changing in order to conserve a kind of wider idea or wider tradition. So, you know, there's loads of examples of that throughout time, throughout conservative policy. We've talked about in the pragmatism episode about how that can be defined, etc. As well as the emphasis on tradition and this idea that humans are imperfect and must kind of follow those traditions because they cannot follow abstract ideas into the unknown. He's also a big advocate for the organic society and the natural hierarchies that he believes have evolved over time as well. He emphasised that everybody has duties within society, no matter where they are within it or what their position is in the natural hierarchy. And he famously said that you should love the little platoon to which you belong. So he doesn't actually see classes as oppositional things that are going to be in constant conflict. He actually sees them as complementary and working together for a greater whole. So yes, although he did advocate for a natural aristocracy, he was opposed to widening the franchise, for example, and he was a strong advocate for Adam Smith's free market principles, which often kind of do not help those at the bottom of the hierarchy, but improve the profits for the middle and upper classes. He still believed that actually it's an organic state that is working together in order to function well. And that's the way that countries have, you know, worked for hundreds of years. And that shouldn't be tampered with. These ideas of Adam Smith's free market being something that can kind of control itself, being kind of important, this idea that the free market itself is a kind of organism that adapts and evolves over time as well. Burke saw the Glorious Revolution of 1688 when William and Mary come to the throne and establish a constitutional monarchy as a key example of how England or Britain had successfully managed to make a pragmatic decision to change the way in which the monarchy worked, the powers of the monarchy, what the monarchy could do in order to still preserve the tradition of a monarchy. The final thing that Edmund Burke is very famous for is the idea of Burkean representative democracy theory, where he essentially argues that MPs should not be delegates, but that they should be trustees of the votes which are given to them via their constituency. This means that they have to be a representative for the long-term interests of the nation as a whole and not just slavishly follow public opinion. He, you know, was very clear that in a democracy, people had to have the opportunity to, as he termed, kick the rascals out, but that the role of an MP is actually to make sure that they are making decisions that are of the benefit for all, because that is actually the job in which an MP does, to govern as part of a whole country. And their wisdom and experience, and maybe, you know, particularly as he didn't support the widening of the franchise, etc., they were all very aristocratic, well-educated people who were members of parliament, that their views should be followed and obeyed because they are the people that know best. He famously kind of summarised this in a speech that he made to the constituents of Bristol, where he was elected MP in 1774, where he said, "Your representative owes you not his industry only, but his judgment, and he betrays instead of serving you if he sacrifices it to your opinion. To be a good member of Parliament is no easy task, especially at this time when there is so strong a disposition to run into the perilous extremes of servile compliance and wild popularity." So I think quite an interesting phrasing there, which is still very relevant today. So Edmund Burke is the 18th century politician with strong philosophical views on the role of pragmatism in MPs' decision making and in the role of the state, the importance of an organic society in which everybody plays their own role, and the strong emphasis on tradition as the way forward in order to make sure that the state can change slowly over time and adapt and evolve gradually to its new responsibilities.